Record button, and we are live. Testing, testing. Say something.
Testing, testing, testing.
Okay.
No, so you have to say, this is Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
No, because we're going to go back and forth. You say, this is Rob.
This is Rob.
And this is Lindsay, and welcome to...
The Weightless Space Podcast.
No, you don't say podcast. You just say The Weightless Space.
Okay. Hi.
No, we're going to start that over again.
Okay. Hi, my name is Robert.
And this is Lindsay, and we welcome you to...
The Weightless Space.
Okay, we'll figure that out later. We're not... This is our test run. We're not publishing this, right?
This is published. This is going to be episode one.
No, I mean, we should probably, like, maybe record it again and be better at it the next time.
Yeah, I mean, I can edit it. So, really, episode one is really just an introduction to who we are, why we're doing this, and what is in the name. And so, kind of just going over, you know, what our fears may be about doing this.
Our fears.
Whatever transparency issues that may arise from it. What's the meaning of the name? And, you know, what are the goals? What are my goals? What are your goals? Lindsay and I were employed at a mega church in Central Florida, and it's been a few years, really, but we've left evangelical Christianity kind of behind, so to speak, and this podcast is really just about the so to speak part of it. Post working full-time in ministry, what that did to us, why we're a part of it, why we're not, all that good fun stuff. I think even more importantly, just some of those experiences, where it left us, and I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but, you know, the goal for me at least is finding a community, because that's the thing that I miss the most, not having it. So that's kind of what we're doing in this podcast. That being said, the name, as we were bouncing around options, you know, we thought of things like renewal, awakening, beyond, you know, some of the other things that we kicked around. And I think the term weightless stuck out to me in our brainstorming, mainly because it is dual in nature. It feels good to be weightless, but also can be kind of scary because you're floating, you know, the idea that comes to my brain is like in deep space, you're floating out into a sea of darkness. That is also, so it's both those things. Free from this systematic theology and institutional religion, but also a bit scary. At least that's what it means to me. Does it have anything else to you?
I mean, yeah, there's our transition for me was going from, you know, being a pastor's wife, an elder's wife, full-time vocational ministry leaders, to a normie, just a regular person, you know, where, and that transition, how that happened was there was a lot of shedding of weights in that movement, you know, a lot of expectations as weights, a lot of responsibilities as weights, a lot of, in some ways, weighing myself down. So for me, the weightless space is about kind of rediscovering me and my beliefs and, really, really in this journey has been connecting with wellness for me.
That's probably good to say. I have front loaded the the website and a lot of this conversation with the phrase spiritual deconstruction. It's probably not the best phrase, but it's just, I think, a normal phrase for folks that are in our position to kind of use. And I think it's a part of our conversation, our experience. I don't think it's all of it. Like, I think we'll talk about spiritual deconstruction a bit, but I think we have more experiences than, and I think most people do that are doing this or that have some similar experience. You know, I don't think it's going to be just about, I'm deconstructing religion, because I don't think that's actually what it is, which is why I wanted to mention this one article, this definition, because I think it is somewhat interesting. There is a philosophical definition, and there is a...
Baby, we're live. You can't do that. Shh.
Yeah. Okay, that's where he... So there's a website, desiringgod.com. It's the same guy that did John Piper. Back in the day, we would read and watch a lot of stuff about John Piper.
Yeah, I recall.
And he's got this website. I don't think he actually wrote it, but there's an article. Actually, John Bloom wrote it. And it's called, What Does Deconstruction Even Mean? And he actually goes through a really good background, a terse background, so it's not too much to take in. But it's academically accurate, I think. It's actually pretty verbose. It gives a couple of definitions and talks about the history from a philosophical standpoint, because it didn't actually start with religion. It was started by a French philosopher called Jacques Derrida, I think. And he's the one that termed deconstruction. And he was just like, question everything. There's more to it, but...
But it was in regards to society.
Yes.
The deconstruction of society.
Not only just society, but like how we think about everything.
Societal norms, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So this article breaks it down a lot. So he kind of is like distilling it. And he comes to this place. And I like this definition because I think it's generic enough to talk about. Deconstruction is a critical dismantling of a person's understanding of what it means to be an evangelical Christian. And in some cases, a refusal to recognize as authorities those perceived as occupying privileged evangelical institutional positions who, quote, supposedly speak for God, end quote. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, I think that definition at this point is pretty spot on. Again, the article goes into great detail about it from, from apologetic standpoint, from evangelical views, but it does a great job of kind of saying what it is. I can clearly say I have begun to question those authorities that I once thought were, I don't want to say beyond question, because I always had a little bit of a questioning spirit to me, but, you know, I took them at face value, where now I don't give them really too much face value as much, if at all. Do you find that that's a phrase that means something to you, or do you?
No.
No.
So because I wasn't raised in an evangelical church, I was raised in a Catholic church. A lot of the narratives that were prevalent in the evangelical church seemed like catchphrases, kitschy to me. They seem like, honestly, like salesman phrases. And so I never took what they were saying. Well, aside from that, when I really studied the Bible, it was in a time when I was really inundated with my personal responsibility. I was a single mom, working full-time, going to school full-time, and then I ended up in the hospital. And in those months where I was really isolated is when I spent time studying the Bible. So I didn't have a lot of outside perspective as to how to interpret it. So for me, there was a lot of extra commentary outside of what I read through the Bible. So the first time that I read the Bible, I had a Quest Bible. So it had a lot of questions and answers in there, which I really appreciated. But I read all the way through, you know, Genesis to Revelation in a little less than a year. And then I did it again the next year, but I did a little more in depth. So it took me about a year and a half to read it the second time. But during those first couple of years, I wasn't taking in sermons. I was just reading the Bible. And I would go to, you know, church when I could. But like I said, I had a lot going on. And growing up, the Bible was read in Latin. So it wasn't...
So you had no idea what was being
said.
You're like, ah, that's clear.
Well, there was things said about the Bible, but the scripture itself was a little bit... Well, I know that a lot of people have a negative experience with Catholicism. I did not. My experience was a beautiful experience. My grandparents were very devout Catholics, and they really taught me the meaning of serving others and, well, you knew them, so, of just having a servant's heart. And so when I went to Mass, you know, they would read the Bible in Latin, and then we would have certain scriptures that were read in English, but there wasn't anything said after that. It was the scripture being read, and then we would sing a song of praise, and then the scripture being read, and then we would sing a song of praise, and then we would do the Eucharist. Mm. And so there wasn't the interpretation that went along with it. Very rarely
I mean,
did that happen.
I had a little bit of that experience in terms of there was definitely like a self-exploration, me and the Bible, just reading. But I was quickly given boxes to put things in.
Well, you're
and
a male.
You know, I embraced that. Like, oh, that's great. That fits nicely. You know, give me a new box and I'll put these new things in there. And I feel like you didn't have that or never really got into the compartmentalization of theological ideas. I think that your experience, and I don't want to speak for you, but I think your experience has been more free-form this entire time.
Absolutely. Nobody was grooming me to be a pastoral leader, and nobody was asking me deep questions about the Bible. In fact...
Hang on. Nobody was...
Grooming
you...
to be a pastoral leader. Oof. And nobody was asking me in-depth questions about the Bible. In fact, when I asked them in-depth questions, they kind of looked at me funny, like, why are you asking this? And I would, I don't know if you recall, there were several, at the different churches we've been to and been a part of, there were several pastors that I would walk up to and ask, like, these really in-depth questions just in a hallway conversation. And they would kind of look at me like, hey, now is not the time for that. What are you doing? Like, this is not how the rules go.
Go home and talk to your husband.
Like, I... Well, nobody ever technically said that to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think a lot of what I've learned in the evangelical church, which I was a part of it for a long time, so it's not like I don't know anything about it, is that those pastors prepare for their sermons, so they do a lot of in-depth studying, but it's one subject at a time.
Yeah.
Or one topic that they're, you know, putting together different scriptures to support that topic.
Right. There's a whole episode about that very thing that we should probably do at some point. But that's a really good point.
So for me, I was grasping more the meta narrative,
right?
And then I had questions about certain scriptures, like, well, okay, well, if this says this, then why does this say this? And there's a lot of, I mean, if we're talking about the consistency of the Bible, there's a lot of scriptures that seemingly on the surface level, if you're just looking at, you know, word for word, they contradict each other. And in my experience, when I asked those questions about the contradiction, and I honestly had no idea that there's like schools of thought.
Sure.
And there's arguments that have gone back millennia about
there's
these
big buckets.
Things. Like, I didn't know. I was just in love with this idea of something greater than myself and this purpose beyond my own small life that I was struggling with. And I just was really looking for a baseline. And people would tell me, like, yeah, that's a great question.
And then just move on. And not answer. Not really engage there. Just move on.
Right. Right.
Well, the whole idea of this conversation is for you and I to spend time together, for me to process a lot of the feelings that I think I've repressed since leaving, you know, and one of my goals is really just to better understand myself, better understand the nature of truth and reality, and to better understand you, you know, and my relationship with the kids and jobs and all that stuff, right?
That's a whole nother journey.
That's yeah, true.
It's interesting because I think you have your journey, I have my journey, and our kids experience something
right
altogether different.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll have them on future episodes to hear what they have to say about things. Speaking of future episodes, I have a short list of ideas that I want to run by you. I don't have great names for these things yet, but this is a list of future episodes that I think might be fun. One, our spiritual origin stories. Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I have one on there, what is spiritual deconstruction, but, well, whatever. How about one called Broken Promises? Mm-hmm. Here's another one. I don't know how to cut this one up. This may be like a multi-part one. But I have one, Cult of Personality, Christian Cults, and or Cult Mentalities. So, just the cult behavior in these, in institutional religion, evangelicalism, what does that look like? And the reason I say that was interesting to me is because we've recently watched some true crime drama-esque documentaries on various cults, and they have affected me way more than I expected, mm-hmm. and I would love to really just open that up. Another episode idea, patriarchy. Another one, the gay episode.
That's a terrible name.
That's a terrible name. Another one, episode 2016, i.e. Trump.
Yeah.
So those
say
are
less. Say less.
Say less. Right. Those are just some ideas of things that I think are worthy of future episodes to talk through, think through, understand kind of our what happened to us and our responses to those things in it. We've kind of talked about goals a little bit. Again, just to reiterate, my goal is to find a community that is like-minded. It's the thing that I miss the most about leaving evangelical Christianity is really just a community. That is a goal. Do you have a goal that's associated with this, or are you just hanging out with me?
I'm just hanging out with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I did have a goal, it would be to maybe share my story in hopes that somebody else who may be struggling with a similar issue would just find solace in the shared story.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I think that's, at the end of the day, what we're trying to connect with. Do you have any fears about doing this?
I mean, three of your episodes are going to cover some of those. if you let me talk on those. But, there's... Whenever you're dealing with a community where they have such strict rules and expectations, there's some fears that comes along with not meeting those expectations, and even the patriarchy. I mean, as a woman, there are certain things I'm not supposed to bring up, mm-hmm. and in the church specifically. There are certain things that certain places where I'm not supposed to try to step into those. There are certain roles that I'm not supposed to ask for or be well suited for, which we can talk about those later. So some of those fears are just, I guess they come from a place of past hurt where, I crossed a boundary that I maybe either didn't realize was there or didn't think was a very good boundary and it should be crossed. Mm. And just that it would open up some hurts that I've previously experienced, even though I have, I mean, like I said, my journey has been a journey of healing and wellness.
Yeah.
And I've taken a lot of time to work through some of the pain.
I think my fears are similar. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm dredging up feelings that I've been willfully ignoring. You know, I have felt a lot of healing, mm-hmm. but I think there's some things in there that I have like specifically just set aside and said, well, I'll get to that whenever, or maybe never. but I also have fear of the response of releasing something like this where I feel like I'm night and day different. So there's a group of people that we've ministered to in our past that may or may not listen to this. And if they do, could be extremely confused, might even be hurt. And my heart goes out to them. My goal is not to hurt. My goal is not to cause duress to anyone or to... because one of the episode ideas was like apostles of unbelief. You know, are we doing damage?
Yeah. So, I mean, if I may,
you may.
I have a very different perspective on sharing stories, I think, than you do, and I think that these topics need to be discussed. Mm. So I think that these topics, they definitely need to be discussed. And my perspective is that, you know, some of the people who maybe participated in these experiences that we had, they may not realize how it's landing on people or how it's coming across. And I think it's important to talk about difficult subjects, even if they are difficult to talk about.
I very much appreciate that perspective. I think one of the things is I was conditioned. You're a leader, you're a blah, 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 because you made mention earlier about how no one ever tried to groom you for leadership. And I'm opposite, right? So I was told, these people's salvation's in your hands, you know?
Yeah.
Whether I believe that or not, it's a different story. But I'm just saying, like, that's the thing that I'm working against is every breath that I've ever said regarding God in this way has been associated with... eternal salvation and damnation for people. And so now I have that fear of, can I freely speak about certain things of that I question regarding the nature of God and the Bible and the church and, excuse me.
Edit that
or,
out.
Yeah, I've got to tag that one. anyway, so like that.
That's
just a fear is all I'm saying.
Sure, but what I was saying is I think these are really important topics to discuss, and that discussing them will actually bring healing and unity.
Yeah.
So for me, you know, I tend to be a little more run towards the issue than you are, a little more, we're both rebellious in nature, but rebellious for the right reasons, I believe, rebellious for the sake of those who are less than us, those who are, you know, don't have a voice, those who are struggling. And I know that at the core, you and I, that's where our heart is for the forgotten ones, for the ones who are left out, for the ones who are, you know, thrown away, who are not included, who are told, like, you don't belong here. And I know that's what drives us to be able to speak out and to be able to, I mean, even in vocational ministry, that's what one of our driving forces is, to love others.
Yeah.
And so I don't really have a lot of trepidation about saying what happened to me, because my experiences are valid. And even if someone has a different perspective, it's my experience.
Right.
So I think that experiences being shared can help raise the awareness of everyone, whether they're in the church, out of the church, never been Catholic raised like me, evangelical raised like you, you know, regardless of where your spiritual perspective is. I think that listening to the perspective of experiences is how you actually learn to love people well.
Well, I guess it's worth noting that our intention here is to be kind, full of grace. It is not to, like, set shit on fire and watch it burn.
Oh, man.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, we're not trying to... I'm not using the word spiritual deconstruction in order to take something away from someone. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anything, I'm using that phrase in order to communicate an idea and what I felt or continue to feel is being removed from me that makes me feel weightless enough to feel imaginative again, to feel that spark of mystery and wonder, you know. I know I've said it 100 times that, you know, when I first was reading the Bible, I was like, man, this is wildly amazing and interesting, and it captured my imagination. And the more I talked about it, the more I was told, this is how you interpret it, this is how you interpret it. And then I exchanged the wonder for God for the theology of God, and that was a slow transfer. Before you had it, all the wonder and excitement and imagination was gone, and what mm-hmm. I got was a bunch of knowledge, which was a poor trade.
Which was perfectly constructed for a purpose.
Yes.
Which is why I call it grooming.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you just have the wild wonder and imagination, it is your own.
Right.
It is your own innocent fervor and love, you know.
Yeah.
For the things
that... it's uncontrolled and wild, and you can say some crazy stuff that people aren't going to... I'll never remember that one time.
You'll never remember?
I'm sorry. You're right. I'll never forget that one time the person that came to the small Bible study we had at the time and brought in and wanted to talk about UFOs. Yeah. And pass out papers, and gosh, that was good. Those were good times.
Yeah, I mean, and that was met with a lot of people telling us as the leaders, like, hey, why don't you quell this? Why do you allow it?
We were asked, why didn't we shut that down?
But for me, I don't think that there's a prerequisite to belief, regardless of what your belief is. I don't think there's a prerequisite to that. You and I have talked about this a million times, that you came to Christianity with an intellectual understanding,
right,
and I came with an experiential understanding. Mm-hmm. And so I value very, you know, may not agree with it, but I value a lot of different perspectives, and have the ability to see, you know, a spiritual significance in many stories. In fact, I remember telling a pastor one time that me and an atheist had a great conversation, and this particular atheist had said they really disliked most Christians because of their, you know, insistence on conversion conversations. Mm. And I was like, well, I just want to know what brought you to where you believe, you know, and I'll share my perspective. And I think that kind of a common ground can show respect for just humans, you know, that life has value. But also that there is a thread that goes between those, between belief and unbelief, and that is our human experience.
Yeah. I wrote a little piece. I don't know that you read it all, but I wrote a little piece for the website kind of answering my long-winded version of what is spiritual deconstruction. And you reminded me of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's more than just the intellectual response that we're talking about. There's the feeling response that mm-hmm. we're talking about. There's also a physical response that happens in life regarding religion and belief, whether it's I'm going to make pancakes every Sunday before Sunday school for the kids. I know it sounds trite, but there's a physicality to those kind of ritualistic behaviors.
It's the practice.
Yeah, it's the ritual practice and those things. And then there's the abstract and philosophical view of our responses to that. So it's not just like a mental exercise, like I know things, I'm real smart about it. It's also how do I feel, or what's that feeling response, and then, you know, so and so. So I agree with what you're saying, very much so.
It's interesting, you reminded me, speaking of deconstruction, just anyone who knows you knows that you work at your very best when you can take a complex thing and take all the pieces apart and understand each piece individually and then how they work with each other piece and then put it all back together and somehow make it greater than it was when you took it apart. Mm-hmm. And that's like your specialty. So for you, I get how deconstruction is really, really, you know, an important aspect of this. For me, I'm so abstract in my thinking. You know, for me, it's like adding another color to the color wheel or, mm-hmm. you know, it's shifting on a spectrum. It's not necessarily, you know, part A goes to part B or whatever.
Right, right.
But I do also have a strong desire for building. And I think that's where you and I both connect, is your process of deconstructing first and then building back up. And my process of, you know, having these ideas that are abstract and then turning them into something that is tangible. And I think in a spiritual case, in Christianity, it served us well for a long time until it didn't. Mm-hmm. And now we're figuring out what we're building outside of that, outside of those spaces.
Well, you're really good at getting shit done. Like, you have that ability to...
Thank you.
...to see nothing, ideate, and then create and finish whatever that thing is, you know. A lot of people, and myself included, can get really hung up in details and or delivery and or perfectionism or whatever it is, you know, whatever excuse I may have. But you have a great ability to do something, to make it happen.
I do things.
Yeah, you do. I do things. What's that from? That's
I don't know. I say it all the time. I don't do that.
I think it's from Game of Thrones.
Is it?
I think it's a Tyrion Lannister quote. I do things. I drink wine and I do things.
Well, that's a great quote, Tyrion.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, well, I think. Did you have any other like thoughts? I have one last concluding thought, but I didn't want to like stymie it. Unless you wanted to, you know, have anything else or whatnot.
On the deconstruction.
Just on our little introduction, this introduction episode.
Yeah, I just my concluding thought, if I may, is that I don't know that we will stay on this topic the whole time. I think, you know, as we journey through this, Robert and I love, you know, just pursuing different thought exercises that may or may not be related, that are, you know, wildly abnormal sometimes. And
guaranteed that there's going to be an alien episode.
I mean, for the sake of that one person at our Bible study, we should definitely.
Yeah.
But just that the pursuit of expression and understanding, and for me, it's asking the question, okay, but what else?
What more? What now? Kind of stuff.
Yeah. Anytime I learn something new, I'm like, that's awesome. Mm. And what else?
Well, my last thought was a disclaimer.
Oh, okay. Tell me about it.
And I wanted to be sure that we stated something, or at least from my perspective.
Okay.
That I want to recognize that each person's path in life is unique and can only be done by them. And I do not in any way, shape, or form. I may crack jokes about church and evangelicals or, you know, various political parties at some point in our conversations. But the truth is, my desire is to honor every person where they're at.
Yeah.
To the best of their ability to be who they authentically are. And I am not asserting that I have the answers or know. And that is tied to kind of one of my fears is, you know, teacher is, the Bible has this quote in it about how teachers are going to be, you know, judged a little bit differently. And you're going to burn a little quicker because you said something wrong.
Hot place with no sandals.
Right. And so it compels me, whether I believe that statement or not, it compels me to say, my voice, this podcast is really a self-expression of, you know, our thoughts and times together. I'm not trying to assert a truth over one other kind of truth. And if you think that these conversations aren't worth your time or would damage your faith in a way that is significant, do not listen to the two of us yammer about this stuff, you know. And that's, at the end of the day, is my disclaimer. I just want to love people well with where they're at and acknowledge, you know, they may be going to church and killing it in a evangelical setting and mm-hmm. doing great work. And I in no way want to make someone walk away from that thinking, oh my gosh, I've been told a sham, you know. That's in no way my intent. My intent is really just to be better known through this process and what my experiences have been. So that's kind of my disclaimer at the end.
You only have one?
That's kind of a big one to me. I mean, I think that's it.
Okay.
Did you have more disclaimers?
No, I was just...
No, I think that was it.
Yeah.
Let me see. I did have more words written down, but maybe... Yeah, we respect many walks of faith, anti-faith, backgrounds, and histories.
Yeah. I think we covered that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, wherever anyone is, whatever their makeup is, you know, I want them to live and love their authentic self.
Yeah, and I think there's something you and I agree on. There's something really special and beautiful about somebody who is just really excited about what they're doing and really passionate about what they believe. And regardless of what that is or how it lines up with what I believe, I love seeing that. Mm. So it, you know, if someone's super passionate about plants, I mean, it's amazing. I'll sit there and listen to them, even though I kill every plant except for my orchid.
You do.
That I bring, the orchid's doing fine, that I bring into the house. I love the passion. So I really, my point here is to encourage people and to maybe discuss some harder topics that the church shies away from discussing or that people who have been excluded from the church shy away from discussing. And those aren't always, you know, the most popular subjects.
Yeah, they can be a little rough.
Yeah, but I think in the end, people who are listening may find some really encouraging places to either grow or learn or search.
Yeah. Well, great. With that, I think the hope is that you would go to the website, theweightless.space. There's an area on there for all the show notes. There's links to go a little bit deeper if you want to learn about Jacques Derrida. There's a couple of videos on some deconstruction stuff that I think is interesting if you want to, you know, go a little bit deeper than what we discussed. Also, there's a community forum. I would love for you to sign up there, ask questions, just participate in the conversations and give us some feedback. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Take care.